Good to see you all. You made your way through the maze of signs, etc., and you're here. It might have been like Mary Magdalene looking for the body of Christ in resurrection morning. Where have you laid him? Is what it feels like when we're looking. Where is the holy sacrifice of the Mass? We're meeting in here, as we have said. Some have been visiting other places and may not know. We're having some work done on one of the walls that's in the church that's weeping. That popcorn finish that really should have been done away with 30 years ago, but that's another story to be told another time. We're finally able to do it through the gift of one particular couple who offered to pay to bring that about. And so to them and to you, we are thankful for whatever thriving and refurbishment we are able to do in God's remembering room. That's really what the church is. It's a room called Remember. We gather as a people because we forget. We are amnesiac sometime. We're so overloaded in stimulation that's coming at us in all kinds of ways, especially with AI, a lot of noise. And so we come to a place of some quiet, some meditation, some singing together, listening together. We look around and see people praying together. You're here. You look around and you see there are other people who believe struggles, temptations, sinfulness, weakness, all the things that can happen in our life. And we wonder, where are you? Of course, Catholics have a keen sense of that because we have a real sense of the real presence because of the real presence of Christ. So this is where we come to hear the words of everlasting life and to receive the living God, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why we are celebrating once a year, especially the Feast of Corpus Christi, where we accent in our Catholic community the gift of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's not a cracker. It's not a glass of juice. It is for us because of the words of everlasting life that we heard in the scriptures and in all of the gospels, this institution narrative where there is a miracle that takes place, a mystery, where we believe, even though we see what philosophy calls the accidents in philosophy, that is, it just looks like bread and it just looks like wine. Its essence is changed. Its substance, transubstantiation changes. We walk by faith, not by sight. And when we look intuitively and according to our souls, it is baptized, so we're particularly sensitive to the tuning fork of the Holy Spirit, the kiss of God that comes to us at baptism. Intuitively, we seek him out. And a Catholic that does that regularly, which we are called to do, is attuned to the palpitations of the breath of God. We listen, we hear, we are quiet, we meditate. Even in the midst of all the noise that goes on, there's some kind of a come to me, all you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. And where is that rest happening? Well, especially at Mass, especially at Adoration. Adoration is the continuation of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's a place of the palpable God. As I always say to the people of God, and the preacher for his preachers to himself, we can be distracted here and shut down here and exhausted here, but the soul, because it has the Holy Spirit, compels us to come to me, all ye who. And so it's in that moment of vis-a-vis, face-to-face, that God in the Eucharist comes to us, first through the living word, which reminds us, helping us to remember, we're just passing through. And on the way, God gives us certain signs, certain information, it's all in the scriptures, of how we're called to persevere, in spite of and because of sin and weakness and distraction, whatever else goes on. It's always been that way, but it's more, shall we say, intrusive because of AI, etc., that we get lost, feathers in the wind, and so on. But the Holy Spirit will always compel us to come to him. Rest with me. Keep me company. You know, this particular feast, first of all, celebrates inside of a year when the Catholic bishops of the United States, appropriately so, have called for something of a revival, a year of the Eucharist. When Catholics are to be reminded and reminded and reminded because we forget. So this is a room called Remember, and we walk out and we remember here because we've been here and we are filled up with the Holy Spirit, that we are what Francis of Assisi calls instruments of peace, especially when we've been baptized, Eucharisted, confirmed, know and love and read the scriptures, pray them, and experience the sacrament of confession, emptying out so we can be filled up, and then to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. What other religion has this? And so we celebrate what we have and accent it. In this year of the Eucharist, people are gathering in Indianapolis to go through all kinds of Eucharistic processions and special talks, reminding or informing or teaching about the real presence in the Christ in the Eucharist. Because of the Second Vatican Council and a lot of distraction that went on after the 1960s, so busy turning things around and putting the masses in the vernacular, what I call the mysticism and the real meat of what we teach was neglected. Busy about many things. So we're playing catch up. They say, hard for me to believe, 70% of Catholics in the United States do not believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. It's not their fault. It's the fault of the clergy and the bishops. And maybe it's not their fault in the busyness of those chaotic years. I wouldn't want to go through those again after the Second Vatican Council. But the pendulum swings and swings, and it's swinging back to what is important by way of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It comes from my reference in history about what happened when is always the birth and death of Francis of Assisi. So let's say in Italy, Francis of Assisi was about 9 years old when a young nun, an Augustinian nun, who was a cloistered nun, had a dream and had a dream again. It was the same dream over and over. She had it for almost 2 years. It was the same dream. She didn't know what to make of it. Sometimes it consoled her. Sometimes it frightened her. Sometimes it confused her. Especially in this repetition, what does this mean that she saw this full moon with this darkness of the universe? And on it was a small spot, over and over and over again. Finally, her confessor said to her, ask the Lord in your prayer, what is the meaning of the dream? Ask and you shall receive. Christ appeared in the dream and pointed to the moon and the black spot. He said that moon is the liturgical year. All of the celebrations of the feast, whether it's everydayness, ordinary time, or the feast, that one black spot is a feast that particularly emphasizes my real presence in the body, blood, and soul, and divinity of Holy Communion, the Blessed Sacrament. She said, but Lord, there is Holy Thursday when you instituted the Holy Mass. He said, that has been overridden by Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. It gets lost in the Passion, Death, and Resurrection. It's all mixed together, Passion, Death, and Resurrection. You can't have one without the other. So he wanted a special feast. And lo and behold, she went to the bishop, who hesitated, but it rang true for him in his intuition. One thing led to another. It became a feast in Belgium, then in France, then in Europe, and around the world. And so we celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, where we accent the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And sometimes things have gotten lost in the sense of the sacred. You know, I remind us all the sense of the sacred. I think because of abortion, we've lost the sense of the sacred. Contraception has influenced a de-sacredness of relationships that are intimate and are to be bonded. There's a flippancy about it. There's a promiscuity that can come in. And consequently, from that lack of respect and the sacred, how we treat each other has been lost. How we look at the institutions that are put in there for us, whether it's a government or the church or a business, an institution, medicine, whatever, that is meant to build up and minister to the people on the earth. Instead, it becomes sometimes corrupt or self-serving or fill in the blank. Loss of the sense of the sacred. It begins with small things. Those of you who are young married or haven't been married for long, and maybe you're expecting children or they've not yet to be conceived, but in that newness, There is supposed to be a sense of respect for each other. We talk about the theology of the body by St. Pope John Paul II and the Great. One of the things that come out of this is that how sacred the body is, and yet it's become so lascivious and denigrated and treated as an object. But Christ came into the human condition, and in order to set us free from that which is sinful and weak. And he said he'd never leave us alone. We would never be orphans. And so he is with us in the seven sacraments, most especially. Baptism touches me and claims me for the kingdom of God. Otherwise, a non-baptized child or person is more subject to the woes of the temptations of the evil one. You baptize someone so that they have that kiss of the Holy Spirit, that indelible mark, that tuning fork that touches. And for the rest of our lives, there is something about us that looks for love. Oh, we will find it, please God, appropriately. But if I don't feed it with the sacraments and prayer, I'm going to get that need for love sometimes in lust. Lust takes, love gives. So we approach the sacraments, especially confession, reconciliation, where God comes. And it is Jesus Christ himself. He's already in the priest at consecration. And then in the priest, in Alter Christus, God in the person of Jesus Christ, his spirit enters into the priest. And it is Christ that hears your confession. It is Christ that absolves you. The man simply represents the Trinity and the body of Christ, the church. We sin against the Trinity. We sin against people. It is in the representation of the priesthood that reconciliation comes about in the presence of the holy ordered priest to forgive, to inspire, to instruct, to commend, to give hope. It is Christ that says, I absolve you, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why when you come into the Catholic Church, you get down on a knee and you genuflect. That's been lost. You know what was lost? In the nonsense of getting rid of the tabernacles that were supposed to be in another room. I remember a parish up in Arlington, which will remain unknown, that I went to help them once whenever they needed a priest. The Blessed Sacrament was nowhere to be found in the church. The way you look for the Blessed Sacrament, for the tabernacle, when you go into the Catholic Church, you look for the tabernacle lamp. That's a sign that you look for. Where is Jesus? I'm here, the candle says, keeping the light of life alive. It's a signal to me that the light of life, and we are the children of the light, we coalesce here and we join. Well, I looked for the Blessed Sacrament. I was told by the sacristy it was in the bottom drawer of a file cabinet in a next room, an office. There is a fruit of that, because when I was giving out Holy Communion, the people of God that were coming down to receive Holy Communion were bantering back and forth as they were approaching the priest to give out Holy Communion. What were they talking about? A football game that was lost, a lamentation over some, usually it was sports or something they were going. Where's the sense of the sacred? You are about to receive the living God. I have to have an attentive to this. Nobody likes to be ignored or look at me and I'm distracted while you're trying to speak to me. We are called to have this presence to the presence, which is why we encourage adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, I don't know if I had told you this if I was staying. I'm leaving, as you know, July the 1st. I'm retiring and going somewhere else. And you're getting a new priest. You'll like him. A baby. He's in his 40s. He's a financier person, MBA. He's only done finances for the community. But he wants to do sacramental ministry. He told me that he said to the provincial, send me to a place where there is real ministry going on in a parish, and I get a phone call. And so he's coming here because of you. Look at the numbers that you have here. When the provincial said to me a week ago, when I told him we were doing this change, he said, oh, you know, a parish always loses people. Maybe they might not even come back. They're going to go to another parish and they won't go to Mass. Not these people, I said. Not these people. They will come, and all of our Masses have been full like this, and even more so. One of the things that happened to me in adoration, and this happens, I was sitting in there a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's a month now, in our adoration room. Jesus Christ and the host is in a monstrance. The monstrance can be gold or silver or some hand-carved something that is sacred. We have Mother of the Eucharist icon. She is standing there, she's tall, holding the heart of Jesus Christ, which is what the Eucharist is, over her heart. One goes in there and one keeps him company. Couldn't you stay awake with me even 1 hour? Well, you go into a room like that and you're present to his presence. You keep him company. You can have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, go in and simply make the sign of the cross and say, "Help me, Lord," and run to wherever you're going. Some visit, some sense of the sacred, some sense of presence, some attentiveness, keeping him company. Or an hour, if you can, called a holy hour. He gives great blessings. You know, my mind might not be there. My emotions might be shut down and angry or slothful. My body's pooped. I don't want to be here. But your soul is there. It's the soul that always is attentive to the sacred, which is why we come to Mass, whether we want to be here or not. He deposits his grace in you. You become a repository. That's true in confession. It's true when you go to adoration. Something happens. You might not realize it, but when you walk away, something will happen. Have you ever heard yourself say something to someone or make a suggestion, and you think to yourself, gee, that's great. Where did that come from? Well, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit in us that feeds us so that we may feed others. I was in the adoration room all by myself, which doesn't happen a whole lot. You're so good at the coming and the going. It's moving. And all by myself, I was sitting there thinking about retirement and what am I going to do? I don't like bingo. And I thought, what do you want me to do? I mean, that's what I said to him. I said it out loud. What do you want me to do? And he said very quickly to me, strong, when you are in Florida, I want you to spend a lot of your time praying for the holy souls in purgatory. It's your mission. And I said, I will do that out loud. And then I heard a voice that wasn't so much out here as it kind of penetrated me here, an awful voice that said to me, you will not do this. I thought somebody was in the room with me. I hadn't heard anybody come in. And I turned around, and there was this black blob about 4 feet and very wide, 4 feet tall, and it was the next to the last chair in the back wherever you enter. And it was the blackest thing I had ever seen. And quickly I turned around back to the Lord, and then I thought, did I see that? And I turned again, it was gone. Gave me goosebumps. A sense of foreboding, perhaps, but it's in the presence of God. He's just a little fella, the devil now, because the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I know that. I embrace it. And I share that with you. I went over and I told Father John about it. And then I told Father Dan about it. Well, with the studies that we know, the demon is very real. He's all over the place because more and more people do not be in prayer and are not remembering, and we fill themselves up with things that were like feathers in the wind. Father Dan said to me, why don't you look it up on the computer, something like that, the black blob? So I did. Well, the first thing I got were sites about astigmatism, little floaters that you get. I've had those all my life. That wasn't it. And then I continued to look, and in great big capital letters, black blob manifestation of the demon, and other sites that were just like it. You see, he's everywhere. You know, whenever Padre Pio says, you want to go to Mass, and this voice says whatever, Padre Pio says, that's the devil tempting you. You want to go to the hospital to visit somebody, spiritual and corporal works of mercy, and the devil says, and you don't go. Again, that's the devil, that tempter. You want to go to a wake service, go and say something you feel called to call someone, send them an email, encourage them somehow, how are you, a visit to whatever, and you don't do it, that's the presence of the evil one. It's really very simple. Yes, it is spiritual warfare, and it's worse in this day and age because of what's going on in the world. We even have a Catholic president, pseudo, who, in a video where he is attending a dedication to a Planned Parenthood business, is with some woman that's going to be in charge of it, and she mentions that we have to be careful because there may be sometime soon in another presidency when we will have to close Planned Parenthood. And what did this pseudo-Catholic president do? He made the sign of the cross, like, God spare us. You know, that's a blasphemy. You might not like to hear it. Maybe you like the fella. That's your call. That's your taste. That's your whatever. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of artificiality that goes on in living virtue. Vice seems to be tolerated. The commandments are nice. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. Well, it's not an invitation. They are commandments. And where we get the strength and the courage, and where our foolishness is wiped away, is when we pay attention in the room called Remember to the palpable voice of God that says, come to me, all ye who, and I will give you rest, when we're burdened and whatever. He's attacking marriage. He's attacking family. He's tapping people's healthy sexuality, especially through the internet, masturbation, the pornography. These are windows into allowing our weakness to grow always stronger. The danger of pornography, it will lead to acting out. And it seems to be even sanctioned and welcomed in these days and age. Your children are being exposed to it more than you know. I know of grade school children who at sixth grade know more about the facts of life than I did at 65. I'm kidding. They are very aware of a certain compromise. It's all right. It has nothing to do with sacredness. It's pleasure. And the body always remembers pleasure. And the more people invest in the false idol of AI and whatever else goes on, the more we are likely to not pray and to lose or weaken our faith. We don't have a sense of wanting to go and worship the one true God. And so we invest our energy in something that is artificial when we have the most authentic experience of Jesus Christ that is possible. Do you think that Satanists break into a Protestant church that has the cracker and the glass of juice? Do you think that the Satanists go in there and rob them of that cracker and that juice that for them is not the real presence? Where do they come? Because they know that we have the real presence of the living God, and they want to defame and go into the desacredness of the real presence. They want to wound him. And they also have the freedom to do that because the people of God are less praying, so he's becoming more and more powerful than ever before. But wait, there's more. Because of Jesus, there is always hope. The sacramental system. See that your marriages and your children thrive on the sacramental system. He is a simple God. He does everything with for us. All he wants is this, thy will be done, and give me the grace to do by way of faithfulness. So I'm not going to be here much longer. I said to somebody in high school the other day, I'm going to be like that Lone Ranger masked man. Who was that masked man? It was totally lost on him. My cultural references are not what they once were. But when I leave here, I want you to know I go with a great sense of consolation and gladness about your faithfulness to the body of Christ, the church. There's a lot of rottenness out there. There's a lot of people that are not doing what they're supposed to do by their vows, whether that's marriage, consecrated life, or priesthood, or bishops. You know, St. Francis de Sales said, a person who leaves the church because of scandal commits spiritual suicide. A person who causes it commits spiritual murder. This is the spiritual life of the living God. We let him penetrate us. His grace builds on nature. But we have to be consistent in doing that. Not once in a while, or maybe I will and then again I won't. sports and all that can be a false idol. Honor the Lord your God. And the Sabbath celebration is a major commandment. But he enriches us, because when we do the little that we're asked to do, he gives us everything in the person of Jesus Christ, in the living God of the Word and the Word made flesh, Corpus Christi, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Thank you for your faithfulness.